This is the Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast.
Chickadee, check, check, baby.
I got waves. You got waves?
Test, check, check.
You got
check.
Waves.
I'm waving. Hold on 1 second.
So this is...
This is Hall of Fame.
Hold on. Dubious Rock Hall. This is. All right, let me pull this article up. This is a good article, actually. Let's. I don't want
to. Probably pretty fun to research and write. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. All right. Whenever you're ready.
Are we good?
Yeah. Whenever you're ready. Yeah.
You want to start?
Yeah.
We can just leave all of this stuff in.
Let's do it.
Calm me down.
In 3, 2.
Hey now. I'm Scott.
And I'm Rico.
Rico, when was the last time you were at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Man, it's been a long time, which is kind of ridiculous.
So you have been?
I have been. I've been twice, I think.
Yeah.
And it's been a really long time, I have to say. I know you were there just recently.
Just
right?
This past summer, yeah. That was actually my second visit as well.
Yeah.
We are in Northeast Ohio, so the Rock Hall is in our backyard.
Literally, from where we're sitting right now to the Rock Hall is probably about 45-minute drive, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they just came out with the 22 nominees, not the inductees, the nominees. And this is always like a list that they put out, and people just get all kinds of upset.
They get all bejiggity and wigged out because they start spouting off about people who should be on the list that aren't.
Yeah. And so I'm on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's website right now. Do you want to hear who the nominees are this year?
Yeah, because
have you seen it already?
I haven't heard this yet. So this is exclusive. This is an R&R exclusive.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
You ever heard of a guy named Beck? Not Jeff Beck.
Yeah. I'm a loser, baby.
That's the one. Yeah.
So why don't you kill me?
Yep. Beck.
Beck.
How about some Pat Benatar?
Cheating around.
Oh.
You better hide.
Yep. Kate Bush.
All right.
A local band for us, Devo.
Yep.
Duran Duran.
Wow.
Early MTV darlings. Remember MTV when like...
Her name was Rio and she danced the pop.
Yeah. Dude, those videos were on MTV all the time.
Rio was.
And I'm hungry like a wolf. And then my favorite one. What about this one? The Reflex. Nobody knows the lyrics. He just automatically goes, and then it goes into the part. He goes,
fleck, 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 fleck.
Yeah, I love it. Remember when the water came out of the screen or whatever?
Yeah. There was a lot of Duran Duran on in the 80s, dude. A lot.
All right. Well, guess who else is nominated this year?
Yeah.
Eminem.
Yeah, that's a home run in my opinion.
Doesn't that make you feel old, though?
Yeah.
Because where the qualification is, right?
Yeah, 20 years, I think, right?
25 years after your first record.
Wow. Damn.
So Eminem is eligible for the Rock Hall.
I mean, before we go any further, that's a home run. He'll be in.
I think whenever you look at this list of nominees, I can only put in 5.
Right.
And so you have to think, I mean, so should he be in? I mean, I think the Eminem records actually, to me, like the Eminem show, off topic, but to me that's a rock record more than it is a rap record.
Yeah.
To me.
I'm not going to argue with you on that.
Okay, remember, speaking of 80s, remember the Eurythmics?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet Dream.
Annie Lennox.
Yep.
In fact, I quote myself in our Twitter feed that Annie is a badass.
Yeah.
And she is.
I saw that. You got a few, what did people like that? Touch the little heart.
The little heart thing. It's a heart. What did it used to be? And everybody bitched when they changed it to a heart. The like thing. It was something else.
I don't know. Was it a thumb up?
I think it was a thumb up or something. I think it was a thumb up and they changed it to a heart.
I don't know.
But I got a few hearts on that one. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Judas Priest, throwing a bone to the metalheads. They've been nominated for a few years in a row now and cannot get in.
Yeah. Breaking the law, breaking the law.
I hope I pronounced this person's name right. Fela Kuti.
How do you spell it?
F-E-L-A.
Fela Kuti.
I don't know who that is. Does that make me a musical idiot?
I've never heard of that person. I have idea what they do.
Well, it says, his innovative music, revolutionary messages, and generational impact continue to represent and the evolving spirit of rock and roll. So, all right. The MC5.
Okay.
The New York Dolls.
All right.
Dolly Parton. Rage Against the Machine.
Wow.
Lionel Richie. Carly Simon. A Tribe Called Quest. Dionne Warwick. So now when you look at, that's the field. And you got to get that down to five.
Down to five. Wow. That's an interesting field.
Yeah. And you could argue that there's really not too many like actual rock acts.
Hey, throw me that link real quick so I can pull that up on my phone.
You could argue that if I knew how to use my phone, you could argue that there really aren't too many rock acts.
And we've talked about that before where it's becoming less and less the Rock Hall of Fame and becoming more and more the Musical Artists Hall of Fame, right?
You know why that is, don't you?
Hit me. Go. Tell me why.
I got bad news.
Yeah.
You know, like there's this place it's called Graceland, right?
Yeah.
And to a generation,
home of Elvis Presley.
That meant a lot to a generation of music fans, but you know what happened or is happening? They're dying. So what does that mean for Graceland as an institution moving forward?
It's just a dusty big old house now.
Without anybody who gives a shit about going and seeing it.
About who used to live in it.
Yes. And so the box office for the museum that is Graceland is less and less and less as the years go on. And that is what the Rock Hall is trying to avoid. Because sad to say, the only way the Rock Hall is going to be relevant to younger, to today's generation, is to expand the base of people in it beyond rock music, because rock music is not popular with the younger folks.
I'm okay with that, though. I have to say, I'm okay with expanding it, adding whoever you want to add, but then change the name.
But then why is it in Cleveland then? Because the only reason why it's in Cleveland is because Alan Freed coined the phrase rock and roll.
Yeah,
so if it's the Popular Music Hall of Fame, then it has no business being in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, but if the tent is not rock and roll, then you shouldn't call it rock and roll.
Then it has to move.
You can't call a truck a car unless it's an El Camino. But besides that, you can't call a truck a car if it's a truck.
But I think the Rock Hall, as you look at, like, they have to, how to put this gently. They had an exhibit there called, what was it called? Play It Loud. I wanted to go see it, and then COVID happened, and then it was shut down for the entire year. It was in the Met in New York, and then it came to the Rock Hall, and I wanted to go see it because it was basically all the guitars, you know, that you'd want to see of rock history. And I wanted to go see it, and then COVID hit, and then it sat in Cleveland for a year during COVID, and then by the time they started to reopen again, its stay was done. And so it never had a tenure here. But I digress. What I noticed, though, was that basically when you look at all of these instruments, it's like they are the tools of a white male boomer generation. And that is no longer really palatable in 2022. You know, we have to be more inclusive, broader, and that's not really going to be a demographic that is appealing to everyone. It doesn't really work anymore. And those people as well are getting older and shuffling off this mortal coil. So you have to be appealing to younger, broader audiences.
Agree.
And I would get, like, for the time that exhibit was in Cleveland, I've subscribed to the Rock Hall, you know, e-newsletter because I wanted to keep up on it because I really wanted to go see it. And it was funny because every time I would get the e-newsletter in the mail, you would think that the exhibit was not the guitars of Eric Clapton, Jerry Garcia, Angus Young, Keith Richards, Yngwie Malmsteen. You would think they were the guitars of Joan Jett. And that was how it was being marketed, right?
Yeah.
Because they kind of have to. you know? And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just culturally we are more diverse now than we used to be. And the history of rock music doesn't necessarily align with that.
I totally agree.
Inducted into the Rock Hall doesn't really align with that.
Like I said, I don't have a problem with it. Just get rid of the Rock name. And if you have to move it out of Cleveland, I'm okay with that too. No, because really think about it. If you make it, for example, I'm just throwing this out. It doesn't necessarily mean I think they should name it this, but let's say you name it the Musical Artists Hall of Fame, and you have different wings for different types of music. And this could be a giant, phenomenal musical complex. It could be great. Instead of the little tent that's up there by the football stadium that's called the Rock Hall, which is becoming not the Rock Hall anymore, then it's kind of not great. But it could be if you just go for it. Just rip the Band-Aid off and just go for it. We're changing the name. Sorry, Cleveland. We're going to take it out of Cleveland. Fine. Change the name. Make a giant complex out of it. And I'd be totally fine with that. Then it would be more of what they're doing anyways.
You know, you could, though, in a way. Like, I heard, what's the guy's name from Run DMC? I heard him on a podcast, and they were inducted into the Rock Hall, and he was thrilled about it because he's actually a huge rock fan.
Yeah.
And he said that he gets a lot of shit about it, you know, like, well, rap music doesn't belong in the Rock Hall, you know? And in a way, I mean, you could kind of think of rap as just another evolutionary kind of step in rock, right? Because what are the roots of rock, right? You're talking blues.
Everything's, you know? Blues based. Everything.
Yeah. It all is. Yeah. And it's and that was, you know, and so it's like, in a sense, you know, you could think of rap as just being an extension of another kind of branch off of that, you know, which kind of makes sense to have it in the rock family in a way. Especially if you're thinking about old Run DMC and what they were sampling back then. But anyway, so an article in the local local rag here caught our eye.
It's a good article.
It was called The Great Rock Hall Purge. Which Hall of Fame inductees don't belong?
I mean, most people spend their time complaining and debating who should be in the Rock Hall. This article does the opposite, actually. And I like this for that. They use the Baseball Hall of Fame as the gold standard for Hall of Fames. And I couldn't agree more.
3,000 hits, 500 home runs, that kind of thing?
Because it's notoriously hard to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And some year, they don't even have any inductees. Right. Because it's the Hall of Elite. It's not like the Football Hall of Fame where every year we have to put 6 or 7 guys in there. It's okay to not have any if they're not elite, if they're not the best of the best. And I think this article uses the Baseball Hall of Fame standard to redo the process and eliminate some people who have been already inducted in.
And they came up with this whole methodology to kind of put some numbers behind it. I won't bore you with all the deets, but if you cared to look it up, it's called The Great Rock Hall Purge, Which Hall of Fame Inductees Don't Belong, from January 11th of 2022 by Troy L. Smith at Cleveland.com. So a few of these are going to be like... We seem to just be kind of, they go year by year, right? And then they break it down, like, who gets the boot? And so for 86, it's Chuck Berry, James Brown, Ray Charles, Sam Cooke, Fats Domino, the Everly Brothers, Buddy Holly, Jerry Lee Lewis, Elvis Presley, Little Richard. And it says, who gets the boot? No one. And it goes on to say, it shouldn't surprise anyone that every artist from the Rock Hall's first class fared extremely well in our tier system. So no one gets the boot. But by 87, they're kicking a couple people out. But we don't really care. It gets more interesting as you go on in years. Was there one that caught your mind, caught your eye in any of these early kind of ousters?
In the early ones, not really. Until you get to...
I can tell you what year. When they get to 91, is the first one where my... it kind of...
I just had it.
It's got John Lee Hooker getting kicked out and Ike and Tina Turner getting kicked out.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it starts to get a little interesting. Now, we're not going to lay out all of their methodology, but suffice to say that they have laid out some methodology here. It's not just throwing darts in the dark here. Like, they've got, like... a whole series of things that they've laid out on a point system based on, you know, charts and rankings. And this is well thought out.
It's a scientific approach. But none of it's just because they just, you know, are being arbitrary in their decision making.
But I'll leave you guys to look at that. But yeah, you're right. Once we get to 91 is where it starts getting a little bit interesting. John Lee Hooker, I thought, was an interesting one, but you know, When they kick these people out, they're telling you why they're kicking them out, and it isn't until we get to the 2000 teens where I start to question their decisions. But here they're kicking these people out, and I'm like, John Lee Hooker, wow, or Ike and Tina, crazy. But yeah, then the rationale for it, they lay out the rationale for it. I'm like, okay, that makes kind of sense, right?
Yeah, basically arguing that her solo career was more impactful than anything she did with him. And so that's the portion of her career that should be more highly regarded.
And again, they're taking, just to kind of oversimplify it, they're taking a combination of longevity, influence, critical acclaim, and sales, essentially. So they're essentially taking those four groupings of things and putting them together and saying, hey, if you're going to be in the Hall of Fame, it's going to be, we're using the Baseball Hall of Fame as the gold standard here, and you have to be elite or else you're not going to be in here. And so that's the premise of this. And so they're saying that Ike and Tina Turner, John Lee Hooker, influential, but he didn't have the longevity necessarily the way they're talking about. The critical acclaim didn't really have that, didn't really have the you know, some of the other things that would have kept him in.
By 97, they're removing Buffalo Springfield and the Jackson Five.
Yeah. And yeah, because they attribute
the Mamas and the Papas by 98. Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I thought, going back a few years, I thought they'd taken Booker T out. I thought that was a little bit interesting. They took Booker T out. Booker T was hugely influential, but he didn't have the critical acclaim, right, and he didn't have the sales, essentially. Yeah.
But doesn't that say, though, like, and I do think, and I like the way that they did this scientifically and the way they weighted things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's legit. But I'm not a fan of, I understand you should consider critical acclaim, but I'm not a, because oftentimes some of the best bands are hated by critics. So Led Zeppelin famously was hated by critics for years.
And how do you, again, I've said this a million times, music is one part of fine art. And how do you successfully critique fine art? You can't, it's all subjective. Yeah. So it's hard to really, really critique something that is subjective like that. So I agree with you.
So let's swing into the future here and talk about some of the artists that more align with what we do on this podcast that get the boot. They kick ZZ Top out in 2004. Are you a ZZ Top fan at all?
I am a ZZ Top fan, but I've never really gone out of my way to listen to them, and I only know a few of their songs.
They're one of those bands that, for me, I obviously, growing up in the 80s, I knew everything from the MTV era of the band, when they had drum machine and the cars and the girls
Give me all your loving. The
Eliminator album.
Yeah.
And that's what I knew.
Cheap Sunglasses and Give Me All Your Loving. Those are
from
really
MTV. Yeah. And then it was only and I'm not proud of this, but it was only like in the last decade of my life that I was like, okay, I got to go school up on this band and find out, you know, why Jimi Hendrix loved Billy Gibbons as a guitar player. And I went back into the 70s stuff and listened to Rio Grande Mud and Trey Hombres and those records from that era. And holy cow, they're amazing and sound nothing like the 80s.
Yeah, the 70s stuff is really great.
And then if you skip the 80s and go into the 90s and 2000s, where they do records like Antenna and, you know, it's just, they, La Futura, you know, they just have some really, really cool albums. And it's like, I as a listener, I could never get by that 80s era.
Yeah.
Whenever they sold so many records, that's what I thought they were. And I had to go back and really kind of school up on it.
Yeah. The couple times that, again, and I probably should do more of it, because the couple of times, brief times that I've dabbled into some of their 70s stuff, I'm like, man, like, just like you, I'm like, man, this is good. And why don't I listen to more of this?
Yeah, it's really good.
I question why I don't listen to more of it, and then I just don't. And I really don't have a good explanation for it.
So why are they kicking ZZ Top out?
What year was this? What year was ZZ Top?
So this is 2004. So they kick out the entire class except for Prince. They kick out Traffic, Bob Seger, George Harrison, Jackson Brown.
Yeah.
They kick out the whole class. They're like, if it wasn't for Prince, he would have not nominated anyone. And they don't really give a reason. Like,
they don't really say why they're kicking ZZ Top out. Now, they mention some of the other ones.
Yeah.
They talk, you know, they go out of their way to talk about George Harrison. Because really, honestly, his solo career wasn't that good.
Yeah.
He had the one album like really early on.
Yep.
And then he had in the 80s those couple of sort of hits.
So are you getting into the Hall just because you're a Beatle, or on the basis of your actual
Yes.
solo?
I think that's what they're getting at with Harrison, is he got in because he was a Beatle and not because he had a spectacular solo career.
Look at 2005. Boy, they're beating up the blues guys. They're kicking out Buddy Guy.
Yeah, because again, they're applying it to their methodology. The Hall, am I right in saying that the Hall's putting all these blues guys in because of their influence on rock?
Right.
And not because of what they did themselves.
The OJs?
Can you put them in the Hall of... Can you put somebody in the Hall of Fame just because of that?
But don't we always make an argument for influence? Like, for years when Kiss was getting shunned year after year, and fans were up in arms, and they're like, but Ace Frehley influenced a generation of guitar players. And it's like, yeah, but Ace Frehley's a really mediocre guitar player.
He played that one lick, that one lick on every single solo.
But it's like...
Every time.
So as rock fans, we're always making the argument that for the bands we love, we should consider their influence. But whenever the older legacy artists that we don't really consider in modern times, we're like, yeah, but they're just in because of their influence. It's like, you can't have it both ways, right? I mean, I think the blues guys, like, I don't know, I find it hard to remove the blues. The blues is so integral to the foundation of rock music.
Yeah.
I find it hard to extract some of these. I'm not saying they all go in, but there's certain, like the Three Kings, B.B. King, Albert King, Freddie King, all got to be there. Buddy Guy's got to be there. John Lee Hooker's got to be there. You know?
Booker T, they got to be there.
Yeah,
no, I'm not disagreeing.
We talk about Booker T in the Kiss episode. I mean, that's Love Gun, right? I mean, it's like, you know, that stuff is huge. Yes, hugely influential.
Booker T,
like,
has influenced many.
But like, hello, rock music's like based on electric guitar. Those guys literally wrote the book that every...
So if you apply this methodology to Robert Johnson, what the hell did he ever do? He recorded like 5 songs.
Yeah.
So he was super influential, but what the hell do you ever do? Nothing. Yeah. So then boot him out, right?
Yeah, with the methodology, yeah.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing. The methodology is, as a hypothetical scenario, the methodology is pretty cool and it works. But in real life, I think like kicking Buddy Guy out, Booker T, John Lee Hooker, you know, those guys, just because they did nothing else but were influential, you have to kind of question that a little bit, right?
Oh, let's move forward.
But then in 2006, speaking of influence and nothing else, really, they keep the Sex Pistols in.
Yeah.
Which had just the one album. They were hugely influential, right? But didn't do much of anything else.
No career. Yeah, you're talking one album, one tour.
All influence. So if you're gonna kick the blues guys out, then why aren't you kicking the Sex Pistols out? Right?
Yeah.
Same thing.
See, but they even say it. They say, but what the Sex Pistols lacked in longevity, the group made up for in points for influence, which were through the roof.
Yeah.
Oh, so kick
but
out.
I guess John Lee Hooker and Buddy Guy didn't have the type of influence that the Sex Pistols did.
They kick out John Mellencamp. Poor John Mellencamp.
I'm okay. I think I'm okay with that.
They kick out. Let's see, Jeff Beck. That to me is a huge, like.
Yeah, but
And they go on to say, Jeff Beck is one of the greatest guitarists who ever lived, but his solo career lacks the essential albums and singles that scream Hall of Fame. And that actually is really, really accurate.
He's just known as a great guitar player.
Yep, and it, his one record, is probably the one that everybody thinks about, is Blow by Blow. But again, it's like he doesn't have, like, if you're watching him on YouTube, an old clip of him playing, you're wowed and you're floored, but nobody can, like, name a song.
Yeah, and do you know why? Do you know why that doesn't mean much anymore? Because you can go on YouTube and see 13-year-olds that are better than he'll ever be in 57 lifetimes. So just because you can play a guitar doesn't mean you should be in the Hall of Fame, because then 1 million 15-year-olds that are on YouTube will all be in the Hall of Fame just for being good guitar players.
And Jeff Beck is, I think he's in with the Yardbirds, though.
You think so, yes.
So who else? 2001 is interesting. Or 2001. 2011 is interesting. They're kicking out Alice Cooper, which I have a real problem with. I can't kick Alice Cooper out of the Rock Hall.
I guess they're saying it was a close call. Had historians been a little kinder to the group's album singles outside of School's Out 918, the iconic shock rock act would have easily made it. So they're saying that critically they only really had two decent songs, and that doesn't make them worthy of Hall of Fame if applying the baseball is the gold standard of Hall of Fame to this.
Yeah. I mean, they've
got two songs doesn't make somebody Hall of Fame.
He's got a 50-year career and 20 some odd records, and there's some phenomenal, absolute masterpiece albums in his catalog. And were they critically acclaimed? No, but that he was one of those artists that wasn't a critic's darling.
He was really an artistic rock dude.
Yeah.
And it's hard again, because he was more art than art would be normally be in rock. How do you evaluate that? Because it's art.
So let's jump to 2013. I'm sure you got something. Oh, they're kicking out one of the Three Kings, Albert King. They're just hammering the blues guys, but they're kicking out two acts here that I think you might have some thoughts on.
I'm a big Heart fan, but really Dreamboat Annie. And what else? What else, really?
They had a renaissance in the 80s when they went hair.
All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You. And I think they had maybe one or two other ones. But really, can you? I've thought about Rush and Heart all day today, and hard too. And really, can you, again, applying their methodology to it, can you put somebody in the Hall of Fame with just one good album? Can you do that?
Well,
you did it with the Sex Pistols, though.
Fans would say they've got several good albums, but the casual listener would only know Dreamboat Annie. But to me, growing up in the era of FM rock, you heard Barracuda and Magic Man on the radio
all the time. You can say, influence-wise, that they set the stage for female rockers.
And is that why they're in there? Are they in there because is it a gender thing where they're like, okay, maybe the catalog isn't there, but because of how impactful they were doing what they did in a male dominated genre, you know, that they're getting kind of credit for that. Right?
I mean, without Heart, would you have Pat Benatar? Would you have all of the cool rock acts in the 90s, like Tracy Bonham and some of the other really cool 90s female, like Mazzy Star or Veruca Salt or any of the cool 90s acts? Or would you have the Runaways without Heart? Would you?
Yeah. But you could say the same thing about all the blues guys they're kicking out.
But that's my point. And yet you leave the Sex Pistols in, but you kick these other people out.
So what about Rush? Why are they kicking
Man,
Rush
I
out?
Man, I thought the purging of Rush is going to upset the band's hardcore fan base. We admit it may be less about Rush's resume and more about the unfair disrespect some have for progressive rock. They give really no good reason for kicking Rush out.
Yeah, I do think that's what they touch on, though, there, I think, is why Rush was one of those bands that the Rock Hall kept outside the door for so long.
Because of the prog rock stigma.
Oh, yeah.
Guess what?
Absolutely.
Rush isn't a prog band.
I hear you.
They're not.
But they have a couple really proggy albums.
Their best. Okay, we can say, I will say this, and maybe we'll revisit this, but the best part of their career was their prog phase. So does that make them a prog band, or was it just that the best part of their career was the prog phase? See what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's super, like, if you listen to...
They had 6 years of really good... The best part of their career was 6 years.
And lyrically and presentation-wise, they're laying it on really, really thick at that time. It's hyper, hyper nerdy, and that stuff was just not... From the critical critic, I'm talking about from the art critic perspective, all those prog bands were on the outside. They wanted nothing to do with that
ELP,
shit.
Yes, Uriah Heep, King Crimson.
Yep.
The critics wanted nothing to do with any of them.
Hated it, you know? So
because,
I mean,
because why? Because prog is not very user-friendly, and critics are idiots usually, and they want something that's easily palatable.
Well, I don't even know if it's that because they don't really, critics don't like, they don't like Bon Jovi when he was the most palatable popular thing in the country. I mean, they don't fawn over Britney Spears. They like the artsy stuff. They'll rave about Elvis Costello, but hate Rush. You know what I mean? It's like, they like the college rock, the artsy stuff.
They want what they like, what the biggest bell curve of consumers are going to like.
I don't even know if they do. I don't think of critics that. I don't think of it that. I think of it like movies. Like whenever you look at the before they expanded the Oscars to 10, the movies that were nominated
10. Used to be 4 or 5.
Yeah, no, before, like 50, but they did that because they had to fit popcorn movies in there to make people happy. But before that, the 5 were always artsy indie flicks that no one ever heard of, and that's the shit the critics like. You know, that's what the critics adore. So the more artsy it is, the more indie it is, the more they love it.
So then what's their problem with prog? Because what you just said falls right into prog.
Because it's, no.
It's indie and nerdy, and it should be something that critics like.
It's not nerdy in the right way. It's Dungeons and Dragons nerdy.
Yeah.
And not.
It's not artsy nerdy.
No. It's nerdy in the wrong way.
It's nerdy in the wrong way.
Yeah. They don't want, they want cerebral, but they don't want nerd cerebral. Yeah. They want, like, it's like the critics loved, like, college rock, like back in the day when REM was breaking in Georgia, they loved
REM.
They loved that stuff.
REM was gigantor to every critic.
And REM had no business ever being popular. If you think about it, I mean, they had songs with the Mandalorian as like the mandolin as the main instrument. You know, so I mean, they weren't like, I mean,
that's a fantastic show, by the way. I have to say,
but off topic. Yeah, I just think the critics, they don't, that's why they don't like hard rock, because it's dumb and it's blue collar, but it's incredibly popular. The critics don't like what's popular. They like what's artistic and how they view
their version of artistic.
Yes. Yep. Yep. But so Rush and Heart get in the boot.
Yeah. Rush and Heart get the boot. Sorry.
2014. They're Hall and Oates are out. Kiss,
they boot Kiss.
Yeah,
how do you feel about that? Think about it.
Well, Kiss like Rush.
Don't forget, Kiss is one of our overrated bands.
Yep, Kiss like Rush is one of those bands that the Rock Hall kept out, and it really started to piss the fans off because the fans felt like, Kiss was highly influential, biggest rock band in the world for a window of time. Started kind of the marketing side, the merchandising side of music. They turned that up to 11. Man, I could make a serious argument that Kiss has no business being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I love a lot of Kiss music, but I could make a hardcore argument that that band has no business being in the Rock Hall.
Again, and we've talked about this more than once, was Kiss... And is Kiss still popular for 50 years almost because of their music? No, it's because they know how to keep themselves popular from a marketing standpoint. They are marketing geniuses, man. It's incredible how they could take some really, really, I mean, I like Kiss and so do you, okay? But we've talked about this, and they've taken some really average music, and they've made it popular, hugely popular, for 50 years now. But is that worthy of Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I don't know, man. They're an interesting band, but
that's what I'm saying. I guess
there's probably more decades of music that I don't like by Kiss than music. They're a nostalgia act. You can say whether or not they kind of ceased to be a truly vital, like, creative force probably by 1980.
Because
after that, they're just doing what other bands are doing and chasing trends for the rest of their career.
And I was just going
to... that's not Hall of Fame worthy. That's just trying to stay relevant.
That's right. And again, I'll say this again. If you take... What was their first album? Was what, 74? 72? 70,
somewhere.
Take that first album and then first getting started and do it without the makeup and without the costumes and without all the theater.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good thought.
And then where would they be? They'd be nowhere. They'd be zero. They would never have made it out of the mid-70s.
That's an interesting thought. Right? So that's an interesting thought experiment. You could,
take the theater away and how far would they have gone?
So let's go on to 2015 and try to push through this here.
Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
That's kind of stunning because I think Joan Jett's in because of what she means to women in rock, but they make a great point.
Well, they booted Hart.
Yeah. And this is a methodology that gives weight towards gender bias.
They wait four female artistry.
Booting Hart and Joan Jett.
They booted Hart and Joan Jett.
But they make an interesting point about so much of Joan Jett's career is like cover songs.
Yeah.
You know, it's like all of her stuff is covers.
One of her two biggest songs of the Blackhearts was Crimson and Clover, which is a cover.
Yeah. And I Love Rock and Roll is a cover. They're all covers. Yeah. It's all she did.
By the way,
much.
Crimson and Clover, the original Crimson and Clover, amazing. I don't know why I love that song. I can tell you why. Did I ever tell you this story? This is just a quick aside, if you will. So, my parents, were your parents into the CB thing in the 70s?
No CB.
Okay, so my mom and dad were in the CB thing in the 70s. And, you know, they had CB handles.
Yeah.
We had the lollipop microphone and the big CB antenna connected to our house. And my mom and dad were part of a CB club and shit like that. Yeah, they were all into it. That's why my dad liked Hart, because his CB handle was Barracuda, and he liked the song Barracuda because his handle was Barracuda.
Hey, anyway, Big John, this is Barracuda coming up on a 10-4 and a big 1-9.
Exactly. And then when I was born, he called me the Little Barracuda.
Nice.
So I even have my own CB handle. How about that? But I forgot what I was talking about. What was I talking about? That really sucks.
Sorry, I went off on the Crimson and Clover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So some of my, two of my my parents' friends owned like an electronics repair shop, a CB repair joint, but they did other stuff too. I don't know where my mom and dad got this thing from, but this existed in the 70s. They had an 8-track, but it was a mixtape. And it had like,
that's crazy.
It had Crimson and Clover on it. It had a Beatles song on it. It had like this wide variety. It was legit a serious mixtape like Guardians of the Galaxy, except it was on an 8-track. And the original Crimson and Clover was on that 8-track. And it had so many different types of cool 70s rock-ish music on it that we listened to it a lot because there was just a lot of good songs on there. And so I grew up listening to Crimson and Clover on this 8-track, and I just loved it. I think it's a cool song, and the tremolo thing and that one mid part is so badass.
It's
anyway,
good shit. I kick Stevie Ray Vaughan out.
Now, see, I have a giant, well, hold on a second.
All
I have
the
a
blues
big
guys.
Problem with Stevie Ray Vaughan not being in. Sorry. How do you keep, again, this article is really cool, and the methodology is really cool, but how do you keep Stevie Ray Vaughan out?
Yeah, that's... that's pretty hard.
Oh my God. He had so many hit blues tunes. I just don't get that one.
Oh, they move on to 2016. They're kicking out Chicago, Cheap Trick, Steve Miller, NWA.
NWA. How do you feel? Like, really, really, how do you feel about that? Super influential in rap, right?
Yeah, I mean, the you know, Straight out of Compton, a huge record, you know.
Oh, huge.
You had out of that, you had Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, Ice Cube all coming out of that group, you know. So it launched like multiple huge careers to boot. So
90s rap existed because of NWA, yeah. Really, right?
I remember that cassette tape in high school was like contraband, man. That shit got passed around. Dove copies of that tape made it to all of us at that point.
That's a fact. That's a fact, man.
Oh, let's get through this because we're coming up on like 35 minutes here. Yeah. So, so anybody else kind of like, they kick out Def Leppard, they kick out Bon Jovi.
They kicked out ELO.
They kicked out the Notorious B.I.G., T-Rex. And then getting to 2021, they kick out the Foo, they kick out almost the whole damn class except for the Jay-Z Go-Go's and Tina Turner.
The Foo Fighters. Carole King, man, there's another interesting one.
Yeah.
Like, and again, they're weighted. They're weighted in favor of females, but they boot a lot of them out.
They're getting them all out.
Yeah. Go-Go's. See, I've there's like a push lately that the Go-Go's get in.
And they did get in 2021, but I mean, I remember the Go-Go's from the 80s, and granted, I was a kid, but.
Yeah, but I don't understand. That's what I'm saying.
Weren't they just another MTV act?
Everybody like, talks like, about how influential and important that the Go-Go's
had better songs.
Yeah, I mean, the Go-Go's just had We Got the Beat, really.
That's what I always think
of. It's the only one I really remember.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Vacation, that's the other one, right? They had Vacation and We Got the Beat.
Yeah.
But everybody talks about how hugely important the Go-Go's were. And I'm like, I don't remember them being that important.
Yeah, I remember them kind of being forgotten by 83.
And then Belinda Carlisle went on her own because she didn't want to be a part of that anymore. And then she had issues and she had like, she like wound up in rehab or something.
Yeah. But it's not like, I mean, it's not like their career just went on and on and on. It's like when MTV kind of stopped playing videos and the 80s era of MTV was gone, they were gone.
Well, I mean, couldn't you easily argue that the Runaways were more important than the Go-Go's?
Oh, gosh. So
could you? Because the Go-Go's probably wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the Runaways, right?
Curry, Lita Ford, Joan Jett. Yeah, and, you know... Yeah, I mean, the Runaways were doing punk and the Go-Go's were doing pop, but
there was like a punky pop,
thing,
though.
They were like a punky sort of pop. Of that. I mean, the Runaways were more.
They were more solid.
Harder edge, you know?
For sure.
So anyway, they get the Foo Fighters out of there, which I don't really think the Foo Fighters are a Hall of Fame band, and I don't really understand their induction, so I'm. I had no issues with that.
They put Tina Turner in as
a solo act. The Foo Fighters are not a rock. I'm sorry. They're not a Hall of Fame.
Well, their rationale on this is that essentially the Foo Fighters are just riding Nirvana's coattails through their success. Is basically what they're saying here.
And they don't really deserve to be on. Do you remember when that first Foo Fighters record came out?
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
With the fake Mentos commercial thing that they did.
Because Nirvana was gone a few years by then. The grunge thing had kind of petered out. We were now into like all the Nirvana babies were kind of coming into the mainstream. And, you know, I don't know, man. They just never resonated. Well, to me, I don't see anything special about that band.
You and I just don't have been having this debate for years about the Foo Fighters.
But I don't think they're bad.
They have perfectly fine songs. They've had several hits off of several albums.
I don't care. I think they're fine. I just don't think that there's anything special or interesting about any of them.
On top of that, Dave Grohl's been breaking his back trying to carry the torch of rock through this really bad rock time period. And I think he deserves a little credit for that.
Rock is over. And now he's just a sad, middle-aged man.
Which is why we're here right now, because we're... analyzing the corpse of rock.
Yeah, I mean, it's over, which is why the Rock Hall has realized, like, holy shit, we've got this giant
sign. We better throw Dolly Parton in the Hall of Fame or else we're going to be in trouble.
Or more importantly, we better throw in, you know, we better, like in this list here, they're kicking out the entire class except for Jay-Z and Tina Turner. They're like, we need Jay-Z.
Neither one of them are rock at all.
No, but they're like, but we need Jay-Z. We need Jay-Z. Because if we're going to That's appeal right. at all to anybody who was born after 1999, we have to have like hip hop in the Rock Hall, because rock and roll hasn't done anything interesting in like 25 years.
Fact.
So, you know, that's at the end of the day, the Rock Hall is interested in the survival of the institution. It does not want to become like Graceland. So they've got to find a way to keep the box office humming after old farts like me, who still give a crap about this antiquated music, shuffle off this mortal coil. And I love rock music, and I've only gone twice in the last 30 years.
I know.
So if you got people that, you know, born in 1999 who don't listen to this music at all, are they ever going to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? They're sure as hell not going to go to see Kiss or, you know,
all right,
the Moody Blues. You know, come on.
So now that we've gone through this, cycle back to the nominees list one more time. And now that we've kind of gone through this list of shouldn't be's that are, let's go through that nominee list one more time, one more quick time.
All right.
Dolly Parton's on the list. Okay, let me just say this. If we're trying to appeal to the masses because rock is dead, if you're going to put Dolly Parton on the nominee list, you better fucking put her shit in the Hall of Fame, right? It's Dolly fucking Parton.
The funniest quote
about
it.
How do you keep her out?
The funniest quote about Dolly Parton said, though, is that if I get inducted, I'll make a rock album.
And it probably will be good.
But the funny thing is like, so we're putting in people who, by their own admission, have never made rock music into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Should Rage be in?
I think Rage is, unlike the Foo Fighters, a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame quality band. Only 3 records and a covers record, not a gigantic discography. You know, if the Sex Pistols only have 1 record, guess what? Rage has 3 studio albums and 1 covers album. That's it. That's it. But those records,
really good.
Fucking front to back, they're great.
Yeah.
And they're hugely influential.
Yep.
Tom Morello, in my opinion, took the guitar to new places, became a new guitar hero for a new generation, doing new different shit, looking at the instrument differently. Zach De La Rocha is a great frontman, great lyricist. He can spit some serious fire. You know, I dig the way the albums are produced. I especially like the Evil Empire record, the production on it.
Yeah.
I love the production.
Oh, no, I'm
record.
Not. Yeah.
So I think Rage
all
is
three
like,
of them are great. I think they should be, and I just want to see how you felt about that.
Dude, I'm huge on them. I think they are one of the most important.
And guess what?
I think they're one of the most important bands of the last like 30 years.
And if I'm not mistaken, we're going to go see them this summer.
I hope so.
I hope that still happens.
What else? We got Beck, Pat Benatar.
Beck. What do you think about Beck?
Beck's got a shot.
Maybe.
Pat Benatar, no. Kate Bush, no. Devo, no.
No and Pat Benatar? Man.
There's a lot of names here, dude. You can only have 5.
I'm trying to make a decision. I'm saying yes on Devo because they're hometown.
We're already at 45 minutes here, yo.
Yeah.
It's a 30-minute podcast. So I'm trying to make some decisions here.
All right. Ready to go.
Beck, yes. Eminem, Pat Benatar, no. Kate Bush, no. Devo, no. Sorry, local guys.
Sorry.
Duran Duran, we'll come back. Eminem, yes. Eurythmics, we'll come back. Judas Priest, no. Dude Who I Can't Pronounce, no. New York Dolls, we'll come back. Dolly Parton, we'll come back. Rage Against the Machine, we'll come back. Lionel Richie, no. Carly Simon, no. Tribe Called Quest, no. Dionne Warwick, no. So what have I got to come? What did I got to? I should have this written
down.
You
had like 8 comebacks.
It's okay. I only got to get rid of 3 of them.
True.
I think the New York Dolls are going to wait. No. So now I've got Dolly Parton, Rage Against the Machine, Dolly Parton, Beck.
No on Beck.
Eminem.
You say yes on Beck?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not what I think. I'm predicting what they'll do.
Well, you know, and Beck a few years ago won Album of the Year. So
I'm predicting what they'll do.
He's probably going to get in.
I'm not saying what I think should go
in.
I'm
Beck's
predicting
probably
going to
get in.
Beck, Eminem, Dolly Parton, Rage Against the Machine, Duran Duran.
Done.
Let me have that special rock and roll music. Yeah!
Let me tell you, so the lyrics to real rock music is nothing more than satanic cyanide. Get it out of your house, throw it out, and burn it. It has no place in the house of the righteous.
You guys, it was like a mystique. There's no mystique anymore.
I'm gone.
Follow us on Twitter at RNR Autopsy, or you can send an email to rockandrollautopsy@gmail.com. And if we run across anything good, we'll mention it in a future episode. Thanks for listening. Later.